The U.S. DOT tightens the leash on the nation's airlines and international ones, too. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. I'm with Kate Hanai of FlyersRights.org, and we have lots to talk about today. Back in March, there was some erroneous information published in the New Jersey Star Ledger that was essentially airline propaganda that didn't get any fact-checking, and we want to follow up on the fallout from that. And then there are the new DOT passenger protections that went into effect that were announced a few days ago to go into effect probably in August. And there was the reaction of the Air Transport Association calling those new rules unnecessary. And we're going to talk to Kate about all of those things and spend as much time as it takes to cover the ground. Kate, thanks for taking the time to talk to our listeners today.
Oh, well, thanks for having me again, Paul.
Well, first of all, let me express my sadness, and I'm sure that of many airline passengers, at the news that you're stepping down from Flyers Rights. Tell us all about that.
Well, yes, unfortunately, there was a gross mischaracterization in a local paper near my home, the Santa Rosa Press Democrat, that falsely stated that I was stepping down from Flyers Rights in order to resume my real estate career. Nothing could be further from the truth, but the Air Transport Association did put in their smart brief, which goes out to Lord knows how many people, that Kate Hanai was stepping down. They sent a link to that article, which I know they were doing jumping jacks and shouting to the gods, thank you for getting rid of Kate Hanai, but it's simply not true, and we've been disputing that ever since the article came out. I'm actually going back into real estate and running Flyers Rights.
Okay. All right. Well, now that we've got that settled, let's talk about that article that appeared in the New Jersey Star Ledger back on, I think it was March 7th or so, in which there were some amazing statistics quoted about the catastrophic downside of the three-hour tarmac stranding rule, including 900 flights a month being canceled at Newark Liberty Airport alone. What did you find out about how that happened? Because the Star Ledger was at one time a reputable newspaper.
Well, it's very interesting. The Secretary of the DOT, Ray LaHood, did an op-ed completely refuting all of the statistics that they posted in that article. And then we contacted the editors and gave them copies of an actual spreadsheet from the BTS showing the percent of cancellations for every month over the last 16 years, at which point the editor contacted us and said, had I had this, we would never have printed this article. So they clearly were misinformed. There were not 900 flights per month canceled at Newark Liberty Airport. Even total cancellations weren't 900 a month at Newark Liberty Airport. But the other problem is that the study that they were citing, which was prepared by an airline industry consultant, Daryl Jenkins, he is associating every single flight cancellation with the rule that's in place, with the tarmac rule. He's not eliminating any of them for weather or mechanical problems or air traffic control. He's blaming the rule for every single flight cancellation, which is simply impossible. And frankly, there is no column that says this flight was canceled due to the tarmac rule, so there's no definitive way of determining how many flights have been canceled due to the rule. So he's literally making up the numbers out of thin air to benefit a certain position, which happens to be the airline's position.
Okay, if there is no column in the BTS data for that circumstance, that tells me that the airlines don't need that column, because if they were reporting any significant number of cancellations attributed to the tarmac rule, BTS would be obliged to create that column.
That's correct. So let me tell you the thinking about this. First of all, the airlines have spun both the media and the public on the idea that this is some kind of turnback rule. Well, let me give you the counter argument to that. Why do they load the aircraft until they know they can take off? There's never a reason for an airline to cancel a flight because of a quote-unquote tarmac rule. They're going to only cancel a flight if they can't get it off the ground, because even if an aircraft returns to the gate, they don't have to cancel the flight.
Right.
They can let the passengers off and let them back on. It's happened a lot in Atlanta. You know, multiple gate returns are a fairly common thing. So if they really want to continue the practice of pushing back from the gate and letting people sit, they can always return to the gate and then re-embark and get the flight off the ground. So this whole idea that there's that the tarmac rule is causing flight cancellations is a complete fallacy as far as flyers' rights is concerned.
Okay. Let's move on to the new DOT passenger protections. Well, I guess before we do, we are now almost within a day, the day of it being 1 year anniversary of the start of the existing 3-hour tarmac rule that happened at the end of last April. Now, everybody was, you know, very reluctant to say for a long time that it was working or it was not working because they wanted to get a full year, go through the winter season, go through the weather season, blah, blah, blah. It's now been about a full year. How is it working?
The tarmac rule is working brilliantly. Passengers are happy, and that's the determining factor about how it's working. Flyers' Rights has had literally zero complaints from passengers who think that their flight was turned around due to the rule or that their flight was canceled due to the rule. We even surveyed through the Huffington Post and through our membership and asked very specifically, have any of you had a flight canceled because of the tarmac rule? And the answer was no, 100%. So it looks to us like all of this spin on flights being canceled is erroneous, and that when we, the comments we get from people and the blog spots are overwhelmingly positive when it's real people, not industry people, answering the question that they would much prefer to have their flight canceled than they would to be stuck out in an aircraft in a sealed metal tube without air conditioning and water and food and medications for any length of time. So, and we've cut the tarmac strandings, the 3-hour or more strandings, down from in 2010 for the months that it was in play from about 600 down to 16.
Wow.
So that's really a miracle.
Well, now, this issue was responsible for the formation of Flyers' Rights. I mean, back when it was still CapBOR. What do you do to fill your time now that we're not having these complaints come in?
Well, there are plenty of other complaints. You know, during the course of our organization, as we were making progress on the tarmac rule, there were all kinds of other things that happened, like in 2008, when fuel prices went up, all of a sudden the airlines began unbundling a lot of fees. Up to 150 fees that used to be included in the ticket are now unbundled, and they have to pay for them separately, and they've not been able to find those fees anywhere on the airline's website. That's one issue. When people lose their bags, their baggage fees were not being refunded to them. That's another issue. Recovery of lost or damaged bags, the compensation that's due them has become a big issue. There are bumping compensation is a huge issue. Getting it up to inflationary standards over 30 years since it began has been a very difficult issue, all of which we have accomplished in this new rule, but occurred over the last few years as necessary.
Kate, we need to take a break. More with Kate Hannai of Flyers' Rights in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Piperjet.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking with Kate Hannai of Flyers' Rights. Kate, before the break, we talked about the mission of Flyers' Rights going forward, now that the major goal of a tarmac stranding limit has been achieved. Some of the remaining goals appear to have been met in the DOT's expansion of passenger rights protections announced earlier this month, including better disclosures of a la carte fees on airline websites.
That's right. We're very excited that the Department of Transportation took up a very large bundle of rights, groundbreaking rights for airline passengers that include fee transparency and all those ancillary fees being upfront at the point of purchase. They took on including international flights in the 3-hour rule, refunds of baggage fees if your bags are lost, if you make a reservation and within 24 hours need to cancel it, there'll be no cancellation fee. And a number of other issues that are very important to airline passengers.
Okay. Now, Let's break these down individually and tell us what they'll mean. One is, one that I didn't hear you mention specifically was, airlines would be required to allow reservations to be held at the quoted fare without payment or canceled without penalty for at least 24 hours after the reservation is made is one of them. If the reservation is made a week out.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't even been aware of this one. Is that a widespread problem?
It's a widespread problem, and here's how it manifests itself. We get calls from people who have made a reservation, and their name shows up misspelled when they get the flight confirmation, and they call the airline back and say, I need to get my name spelled correctly, and instead of the airline making the change or allowing them to make the change, the airline says, well, we're going to have to cancel your ticket and charge you $150 each way.
For their spelling error?
Yes.
Okay. I had not heard of that one happening, but I would be lying if I told you I was surprised. All right, let's let's talk about the compensation for denied boarding, because it looks like a significant jump. And for people with low price tickets, it would be, because it now allows either double in short delays or quadruple in longer delays the amount that your original ticket cost as compensation. But the maximum amounts don't look like they've kept up with inflation, even with this increase.
We think that they have kept up with inflation with this increase, because the economy is in a state of flux right now for sure. But we originally commented 2 years ago that we thought the maximum should be $1,200. And although fares have gone up now, the airline still has to care for certain other needs for you in the event of a very long delay if you're bumped. So we think that this is appropriate for now, but they will adjust it every 2 years for inflation.
Okay, well, that will be helpful then.
So they'll continue to adjust it for inflation. And there's something else in conjunction with this that hasn't been talked about much that's probably as important, if not more important, than the compensation itself. The DOT has been fining the airlines periodically over the last couple of years very large amounts of money for deceptive practices at the gate in terms of disclosure to passengers what their rights are when they're bumped. And so what they did in conjunction with increasing the compensation is they mandated a very specific number of disclosures that have to go to both voluntary and involuntary bumps. They have to tell them now, if they're a voluntary bump, they have to tell them their likelihood of being bumped. And they have to notify them before they accept a voucher what the possible cash compensation is to them in the event that they are bumped. If they're an involuntary bump, they also have to notify them before they accept a voucher of what the cash compensation is. They always should have been doing that, but they weren't. So now the DOT has spelled it out and said, do this or we're going to continue finding you more and more money.
Okay, so let me understand this scenario. If you were going to volunteer to be bumped and did not know that if you were involuntarily bumped, it could be worth up to $1,300 now, you might volunteer to be bumped not knowing what you were giving up.
And accept a far lower amount of compensation in the form of a voucher, which is much more difficult to use than cash. So, you know, these are issues that passengers have not had the benefit of understanding when they're at the gate, because it's not explained. And in fact, there have been many actual deceptive practices, withholding of information related to the vouchers that the DOT has taken up over the last few years in terms of fining airlines. And now those disclosures are going to have to be painfully clear.
Okay, there was an interesting response from the Air Transport Association of America immediately after the DOT announcement. And it almost sounded like nya-nya a little bit, because Nicholas Calio, who is the president and CEO of the organization, said that airlines welcome increased transparency in what the a la carte fees and various charges are. But then it went on to say airlines will continue to work to present a clear differentiation between the fare charged by the airlines and the government taxes and fees, which can account for roughly 20% of the ticket price, which to me sounded like, okay, you want full disclosure. You got it, pal. Let's see how you like it when your a la carte fees are disclosed.
Right. That's exactly right. But the other reason the airlines didn't complain too much is that it was a partial win with the ancillary fees. It wasn't an overwhelming win, and here's why. All the airlines have to disclose right now next to the fare are the baggage fees and the government taxes and surcharges. they don't have to disclose all of the other ancillary fees right next to the fare. So you're not going to be able to easily make apples-to-apples comparisons. What they are going to have to do with all those other fees is link you to a static page so you can see them, but you, it won't be easy to see them next to other airlines unless some private companies figure out how to do that, which I'm aware there's a couple companies that are working on that ability. They have introduced another new rule that will further look at whether or not further transparency is needed.
Okay, so you'll be able to see easily what your bags will cost you to take on the airline. If you like to travel with a pillow and a blanket, you might not see the various charges for things like that.
That's not easily.
Okay.
That's correct. You'll be able to find them, but it'll be in a different area on a static page, not right next to the fare where you can add it up and know apples to apples what that would look like against another airline.
Kate, we're out of time for today. Can you come back tomorrow to talk specifically about the extension of tarmac stranding limits to international flights?
Absolutely, would love to.
Kate Hanai is the founder and director of Flyers Rights. Find out more at flyersrights.org. That's Flyers with a Y. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. That's Aero with an A-E-R-O. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.